I speak to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There's a chance that you have heard this opening illustration from me before, but it is incredibly prudent to understand the context of today's gospel. Sometimes we know that we know that we know that something's about to happen. And if it's to somebody that we love, we tend to provide them with a phone call, an email, a text that says, "Be careful on the way home." We may even be in a situation where we turn to somebody and say, "You know, there's been a series of events, and they seem to be leading to something. Be cautious, be wary." Some of you recall the illustration that President Lincoln had a secretary by the name of Mrs. Kennedy. Mrs. Kennedy went to President Lincoln and said, "Mr. President, I've had a dream, and you can't go to the theater tonight. I have a horrible feeling that something awful is going to happen." And President Lincoln went to his wife, and they had a conversation and decided to go anyway. And 12 hours later, the president had been shot and was dying. Many years later, President Kennedy had a secretary by the last name of Kennedy. And she walked into the Oval Office one day and said, "Mr. President, I've had a dream. I've had this really bad feeling for quite some time. As you can imagine, Mr. President, I can overhear things every once in a while. And this trip to Dallas is a mistake. There is a growing discontent with the things of our policies and procedures. And Mr. President, I'm asking you to cancel the trip to Dallas." There are some who believe that President Kennedy wrote in his diary that day, "The end is near." And then got on the plane and went to Dallas, was shot and dead. Sometimes people around us seem to have this uncanny awareness that we're in jeopardy, that there is something that potentially could go seriously wrong. And sometimes it's not them, it's us that has the awareness. We're somehow in tune with either somebody that we love or our own experience, and we know that a synchronicity of events is unfolding. And that if we keep going in that particular path, something bad will happen. This awareness we need to be attentive to. I'm not talking about a paranoia that makes us triple check that the stove is off or check 6 or 8 times that we unplugged the iron. I'm talking about this quiet, still voice inside of us that says, "Careful, walk tenderly. Be cautious." When the Greeks decided that they wanted to see Jesus, for them, they were passing through town, they'd heard about this guy, and they said, "You know, we'd like to hang out." But there was a certain pecking order of how you got to see Jesus. And as you heard in the gospel today, one disciple went to the other disciple, together they go to Jesus, and they say, "Will you see this group?" And Jesus' response is incredibly unusual. He begins to unpack for them and those around them a series of statements, and there's three of them that are pretty important. Number one, very soon you will need to decide if you're going to follow me or not. If you follow me, you will need to surrender what you want for what God needs of you. I don't want you to miss that one. You'll need to surrender for what you want to what God needs of you. To put our self-interests aside and allow Christ's entrance and his interests to prevail. That was the first. The second was to understand that Jesus was predicting the end. He knew that his life would come to an end soon. You know, it's kind of like when you know when you walk into a room that not everybody's thrilled that you're there. Maybe you've attended a wine and cheese or a birthday party, or as we will soon have in most of our families, a family reunion. We do this to ourselves on purpose. Especially at Christmas, and oh, why not, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's have a family event and see what happens. Put the police and paramedics on standby. Some families are truly blessed and everybody gets along and they can't wait to be together. It's kind of like a Hallmark card. But many families have struggles. Some of them are deep and profound, difficult memories of events gone by. Jesus understood the arrival of the Greeks mean that word had spread of his ministry, and that those who were against him were gathering, and that the end would come soon. I think his plan was absolutely ingenious, because when he finished his speech today about the importance of him walking with him and about letting go of our own needs to meet his needs for us, when he was done all that, he planned a party. I mean, if you're going to go, you might as well go with a bang. And so he planned a parade and a meal. And he set his disciples to the task of finding a donkey. Why a donkey? You see, we don't have time to talk about this next week because we spend a lot of time waving branches, singing stuff. And so the homily, as it has been pointed out to me, needs to be drastically reduced. That's fine. I'll take the time today. I'm just kidding. But you need to know that Jesus planned the party. He planned the parade, and what he wanted to do was to send a very clear message. And the message was so short that I can keep it short. The message was that the people were expecting the entry of a king, the new leader of a political party. Not that we know anything about that. And instead of making a huge deal of it, which meant that he would ride in on a white stallion. That was the clear message to everyone that he was the next king. The campaign had begun. Okay, that might have been overdoing it. No, I've been watching TV. That's about it. Instead, he chose a donkey, the most humble of beasts, the symbolic gesture of a servant entering the city. And the other thing he planned was a meal, and he did that with his disciples, and he planned the meal in such a way that all of them would be there. You know, it's hard to schedule everybody in the same room, but it was important all 12 were there, no matter what else they were in the middle of doing. And he treated them with grace and humility. He actually had them take off their sandals. You know, in that time and period, if you took off your sandals, your feet had been in the dust and the muck and the yuck. And if your feet had been in the dust and the muck and the yuck, they were not pretty to look at or to be near. And he knelt down during that meal and he washed their feet. That extraordinary gesture of humility and an intimacy of relationship of servanthood. He planned all of this as the Greeks arrived because he knew that the Greeks' arrival was the initiation of the message going far and wide, and that he only had a short time to explain his meaning and purpose. And that was this: to teach a message of love and grace and mercy, to teach a message of salvation and new beginnings through the cross and the resurrection. And he did that as he unpacked it for us in the gospel today, to remind us that it's not those who stand with the great of our humanity, but it's those who sit with the broken that we need to pay close attention to. For the leaders of our time in the church and in politics need to be such people that are ready to serve in humility and grace. and in our own homes, as we reach out to each other in grace and mercy, there is a deep and profound sense as we come near that celebration of Easter, that time where we pull families together, that when they look at each other at the table, they aren't waiting to see who's going to say or do something that will cause tension or disturbance, but rather they fixate on your face because it's your face where they see the face of Christ. Amen.